Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And today on Uncomfortable, we're going to be talking about, you know, something that most Christians don't want to talk about, and that's martyrdom. You know, what exactly is it when you're a martyr for Christ? You know, Vince, you and I came from a theological training center that it was a little bit different than a lot of them. Because I remember that we had a speaker when you and I were in school, and they actually talked about the Book of Martyrs.
Oh, yeah, Fox's Book of Martyrs.
You know, and that was one of the things that I remember that stood out about our school is they were not afraid to touch on hard topics, you know, things that would make you uncomfortable and actually challenge your thinking and challenge your faith in the process. And I think that really is something that helps people grow. If we don't have that challenge, if we don't have that uncomfortable topic that we have to deal with, how can we ever truly do what the Word of God says and examine for ourselves and count the cost? Because that's what we're supposed to do as believers, right? It says, tells us to count the cost.
Yeah, it actually even says to count the cost and then gives the story of someone building a building and just going into it haphazardly and running out of money before you get the building finished.
There you go. Same could be said, you know, when Jesus gave the story of the seed and the sower, you know, are you paying attention to where you're sowing your seed? Are you sowing it in good ground, just throwing it wherever it lands, and some of it goes on to good soil, some of it's in bad soil, and some of it's on, you know, the path? You know, it's only going to work well if it's in a good place. You know, and we have to be very intentional with what we do and what we say and what we think. And many times, I think that we fall short in considering the Word of God and meditating on His Word. Now, when Vince and I talk about meditation, we're not talking about some far Eastern religion to where you clear your mind and, you know, you're doing some sort of, you know, weird sounds and stuff. No, no, no. The Jewish form of meditation is actually considering, thinking about, breaking down the topic, considering it, playing through multiple scenarios in your mind, and trying to really understand and grasp the full knowledge of a scripture. It's not just being mindless about stuff. And so we're really encouraged in the Word to meditate day and night on the scripture so that we fully understand what it means. But many times as believers, we don't do that. Vince, you're at the Bible school that you and I used to attend, and currently you're in the role of a teacher.
Yeah.
In your experience in today's world, which in, of course, every generation says it's worse than it was, but you know, from what I can tell, the distraction factor is probably up by like 100 or maybe 1,000 compared to what it was when you and I were in school, because now you have smartphones that are smart. You know, they have all this technology built into them. You have all these distractions that are beeping at you all day long. You know, when you and I were in school, there really wasn't a smartphone. It was more of a dumb phone. You know, it was more like the traditional phones, you know, and they were texting was just becoming a thing.
And so, yeah, I mean,
the question I have for you before you jump in is, how do you see that affecting this generation when it comes to meditating and considering and counting the cost?
That's a great question. And I would have to say there are benefits to having that device with you, right? But as far as the meditating and spending your time alone with the Lord, some of the benefits are you now have an instantaneous music player with you at all points, right? You can download and stream music. You can have the Bible with multiple Bible apps on your phone, with deep dives into the Greek and Hebrew, with the lexicons and concordances and all that stuff like that that exist on there. You can do it all right there from your phone or tablet. As well as you can even have the Bible playing for you so that you're hearing it audibly as well. So you can play it audibly while you're reading along with it as well, if you want to, or to help you better retain the information. So there are things about it that can be to an advantage, but the problem with that is most people, if they get on there, they don't turn off all the notifications, they don't turn off all the other things, and so it's easy to get distracted by other stuff, which pulls you away from that. The ultimately, though, I would have to say having the phones, it does detract from spending that time with the Lord, unless they have a solid routine in that says, okay, I put the phone down, I put it over here, I get up and go over here and take the actual physical word with me, or what have you. And just sit around and pray, you know, turn the phone on silent or even airplane mode, and spend that actual time with the Lord, listening, praying, reading your word, what have you. So otherwise, it is a distraction. So the thing is, we had our distractions back then too. The funny thing is, for us, most of the time, it would just be that we would only be distracted in our mind, because for most of us around the turn of the century, we didn't have cell phones. It wasn't as normal as it is now. I mean, little kids have cell phones. People on they have worked to make it where, with the help of government and nonprofit organizations, to where everyone has access to a phone. No matter what your income level is, no matter what your age level is, there are organizations out there that will now send the older generation smartphones with big buttons and all of that to help them as well. But we weren't that connected back then at the turn of the century.
Right.
It wasn't like that. Some people did have cell phones, some people didn't. It was kind of a, you could walk in a room of 50 people and maybe half did, probably less than half did.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have that specific issue, but we had other things that tried to distract us anyway. So,
So you see that it does seem to distract them quite a bit.
I do, overall, not every individual. Some people have their act together and they know its place and where to what to do with it and where to put it.
So it's a discipline issue.
I do think a lot of it's more discipline wise. Again, the problem goes to, we're so used to having it. I'm gonna hold mine in my hand for you to see. I'm so used to just having it right here at our fingertips, and I can grab it. Now, the benefit is I can get on and find out information quickly. The negative is I can get on and get distracted and be like, oh, hey, look, I got a notification on my game. Oh, I got a notification on my social media, blah, 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 whatever it may be.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it can distract you. And before you know it, you've gone down a rabbit hole and an hour has passed. So it's a very good, deceptive time thief.
Oh, I agree with you, man. That's one of the reasons that I've started activating what they call focus mode on my iPhone, because it'll actually remove apps even from my view during that,
Really?
during that time period.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of little things. You can say who can contact you, who you can receive messages from, all kinds of things on focus mode. And I've set a couple of those up for different things, kind of like when we record. Now,
So,
go ahead.
okay, we've pulled way over here into technology. I was wanting to bring back to our our main topic, and of course we know that a brother in the faith, Charlie Kirk, has passed away recently. When this airs, don't know how far out this will be from when it actually happened, but let's just say fairly recently he's passed away. And you know, as they're saying, the news media is saying, from an assassin's bullet. But the truth of the matter is, one of the last things that he spoke about had to do with his faith. And in one of the interviews he did, he said that he wanted to be remembered for his courage and for his faith.
One of the things that almost everybody you'll listen to talks about is that Charlie Kirk always made a point to talk about his faith at any gathering.
Oh, yeah.
So really his number one goal was to be a witness for Christ, which, you know, let's go back for a second, you know, and let's kind of talk about the word martyr. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when we think about the word martyr, we think of the early church, people facing lions, swords, fire, prison, you know, because of denying Christ. You know, excuse me, not because of denying Christ, because they refused to deny Christ.
Thank you.
You know, so because they refused to deny Christ, they became martyrs for the Lord. And that was because of, you know, that's why people tend to think of the lions and the swords and all that. Now, what does the word martyr actually mean, though? You know, what a lot of times people forget is that actual Greek for martyr means witness. And at its core, the martyr is someone who testifies to Christ by their life. Now, in many cases, that could be death, but it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be death. You know, Acts 1:8 says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That word witness is the same root as the word martyr. Now think about it. It shares the same root. And if you're dead, you can't exactly go to all the earth and testify to the name of Christ. So it doesn't mean that many of the apostles, if not all of them, you know, didn't have to suffer a martyr's death. And as we know that all of the core apostles did pass away, you know, they were martyred. I believe John was the only one, if memory serves me right, that lived the longest, because they tried to boil him, they tried to hang him. They did just about everything to John. Finally, they got so mad they sent him to the island of Patmos because they're having such a hard time killing the man. They said, "You're just going to go rot on that criminal island over there." But that was so that God could use him so that he could write the book of Revelations and several other books, so that he could continue to be that living witness for Christ, to continue to reach people for his namesake. Now, they had to have a voice before they died, right?
I think we need to add a slight distinction in there for everybody that so they understand. So there's two types of martyrs, and the ones where you continue to have your voice spring out is what we more theologically would like to refer to as a living martyr. And whereas when you have someone like Stephen in Acts 7, he is a martyr in the sense that he held the witness of Christ unto death, or I guess you would even say, because of the fact that that was his witness, they chose to kill him for his faith, and he refused to deny. And so it then, and that's the reason for his bloodshed.
You know, the funny thing, Vince, to me, is if you look through historically, anyone who is speaking truth never was silenced by being martyred. It's always been an amplification to the voice. You know, and that's so interesting to me, because I don't understand how people don't see the correlation, you know, the way it kind of correlates with one another.
Well, I think it's demonic and it's anger, and, you know, people don't like having their, listen, I've heard that, I've heard many of his videos and stuff like that. I've never seen the man, like, from what I've seen, and he's probably got thousands of videos, so I could be wrong. I've never seen him get start yelling and screaming at people and pointing their finger at him, but he always made sure to tell the complete truth. When you tell the complete truth of the gospel, you're confronted with your own sin. Because otherwise, what do you need? What do you need to be saved from if you don't know that you need anything to be saved from? So when you're confronted with your own sin and your own evil, so to speak, I guess that, I mean, that's probably not a better way, the best way to put it, but it gets some people angry. So,
and, oh, very and true.
Don't
Many
like
people
it.
People don't like to be told that they're wrong, too.
That's true.
So, you know, but
like even you and I, to a degree, don't like to be told we're wrong.
Oh, yeah. I don't know of anyone who likes to be told they're wrong. It could be the person that loves you the most that tells you you don't like it.
Nope.
You know. All right. So, throughout history, countless believers have paid the ultimate price for their faith. You know, many of them, like we talked about, looks like Stephen, you know, who paid the price first in Acts 7. You know, he was one of the very first martyrs for Christ. The apostles, most of them were killed for their faith. We discussed that a second ago. And many early Christians in Rome refused to worship Caesar as their Lord and God. And they were thrown, you know, to the wild beast or burned alive. So they had to make a choice. Were they going to stand up for Christ or were they going to take a penalty of death? And they, many of them chose that they would not deny Christ, you know, because they valued the salvation, the peace, and the love that God had given them more than anything. Now, their courage challenges us. What would we do if we're faced with that same choice? Would we deny Christ or would we face death? I mean, that's something that we all have to think about. And it really shouldn't be a hard, you know, question that we should be able to answer very quickly.
I think it, I mean, truthfully, I think it scares people to think of that, though. And I get the, like, we shouldn't fear because the Lord is with you and he'll be with you. And I agree with that. And I get that. But what I mean by that is, for people to think of their own mortality typically does scare them, regardless of it. And to know that your mortality could come, the end of your life could come at the hands of someone who is persecuting you or killing you for your faith, and that it could be a violent death. It might not be a quick and painless or easy thing. I think it messes with you mentally a little bit, but from the little bit that I've read about martyrs over the years, it seems to me that a supernatural grace comes upon you from the Lord and a boldness comes upon you. There's a book. So like there's Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's also a book, a couple of volumes of it called Jesus Freaks that DC Talk put out years ago or helped to put out years ago or something like that. Also about martyrs. And in one of those, there was a story of these Christians in Russia when it was the Soviet Union. And they were out in the cold and they were on the lake. And they had stripped these Christians naked and put them in the middle of the lake. And around the perimeter of it, because it wasn't a huge lake, it was a small one, probably more like a pond or something. Around the perimeter, they had filled up bathtubs full of hot water, and there were soldiers lined around it, and they said, if you, all you have to do is renounce your faith in Christ and you can come get in a hot bath and warm up. And after however long, I forget how long they said it was, somebody finally relented and walked off of the ice and got in the hot water. The moment they did that, one of the soldiers that had been standing there watching this stripped naked and went out onto the ice to take the place of the one that got in the tub and said, I was so impressed by what I saw. that I gave my heart to Jesus, standing there, and went out to accept the same fate as these people he had just previously been putting through this. So I believe there's a boldness that comes on you, and knowing that it's a short moment, and then you're with Jesus.
There you go.
It's easy to say, obviously. I mean,
oh, of course.
Hard to walk out. Easy to say.
I think that we have to make sure that we kind of reiterate that martyrdom is not only about dying.
That's true.
The physical way. But it's 100% about dying to yourself.
Right. Which would be moving over into living martyrs.
Exactly. So, I mean, the first step anyone takes is they have to die to self. That's just a prerequisite to even being saved. Because you're literally laying down your life and you're giving everything to receive Christ. And you're allowing yourself to be reborn in Christ through that salvation. So you're a new creation. The old that has died and passed away, and the new has come. So Jesus tells us, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Right.
He's literally referring to your daily laying your life down for him. Literally. So that in a way is also us dying to ourselves, or martyrdom that we're going through daily. We're daily laying down our life, our desires, our wants, our yearnings, our hopes, our wants. And we're submitting them to Christ daily so that our life will be a living witness to everyone around us. That means our reputation, our comfort, our pride, our comfort level, maybe even relationships might have to be laid down at times. Because, these are things that don't feel good.
No.
And we've all had to make these decisions, that, you know, those of us that follow Christ at some point in time, where we've had to cut relationships out. You might have been dating somebody, and you may have had to remove somebody that the Lord told you this is not the right person. And you may have had to cut off the relationship. Mm. You know, there's all kinds of things that could be. And those are ways that we lay down our life. When the Lord's telling you, hey, X, Y, and Z is not right, you need to completely walk the other direction. That is dying to yourself, right?
You know, when I hear you, this is one of the words that I hear in my head as you're saying all of that, is sometimes it means you have to lay down being comfortable. And I mean, I know, you know, the title of the show is Uncomfortable and all, but it that's what I hear when you say that. You have to lay down that comfort that makes you feel okay. And I remember having this conversation several months ago with someone, and the theme that kept coming up is got to become comfortable in being uncomfortable, meaning that we have to get used to and gain comfort knowing that we are uncomfortable for the cause of Christ, for denying ourselves, for maybe you've had a great reputation of being a pillar of the community and always dress the flyest and whatever it may be. And now God is telling you to sell everything you have and go be a missionary. Or, you know, God is saying to kneel before me and you're like, God, this is an $800 suit or $5,000 suit. You want me to do what?
Let's even take it to another level. Let's say that you're an avid gym goer. You know, and you've made lots of great progress. And the Holy Spirit says, it's time for you to fast for a season, son.
Mm.
And you're like, Lord, but what about all my gains?
Yeah.
You know.
We've talked about that before.
You know, but the reality is, if the Holy Spirit's putting it on your heart to fast, who are you to argue with him? Who are you to try to say, I live in the dispensation of grace, you know, in the season of grace, to where I can just, you know, God will forgive me if I don't fast, or if I change it according to what he's asking. Look, if God's asking you to fast food, and I don't mean eating fast food, you know, abstaining from food, you know, then at that point, your job is to be obedient and not put food in your mouth. You know, and it could be that the Lord may even tell somebody, hey, you have a social media addiction. I need you to take X number of weeks or months off.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? The Lord will do all kinds of things with us at times.
That's a good portion of us in the church that are really, if we're really honest with ourselves, we have an addiction to social media, even in the church.
Most of us just have an addiction to our smartphones.
Well, I think the other thing too is, if you're really admitting it, there is a part of you, even for those of us that don't like drama, there's a part of you that is hoping to see a little bit of drama when you go through social media.
I mean, that's not me. I'm not a drama person, but
I'm not either. But there's a part of you that you can't say that you haven't seen something that's popped up, and you're like, normally you'd be like, I'm not gonna. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, this just got interesting. So, you know what I mean? There's that piece in all of us that's like that. You know, it makes me
think.
For
me, it's not drama. I prefer to watch people get in fights. I think it's hilarious.
That's still the same thing. So, fight with words or fist fights, it's still basically the drama. But, you know, I think the thing that's hard for us to look at too is when you are a living martyr, when you live the life sold out, it means you have to, and this is a struggle of mine too, you have to lay down your desires.
Now you're meddling.
Jesus wants for your life. And it's hard because, I mean, I'll be honest, I've had conversations even all the time, really, with myself, with my mentors, with people that I mentor, just in the body in general, my peers. And you have these conversations that are, you know, I've been serving the Lord, and he's asked me to give up this, or he's asked me to give, and I've given up everything for him. And all I wanted was this. And I feel like he's taken that from me. Well, did he take it from you, or is it delayed? Or is it something that if he gave it to you, it would be more harm than good? Now, a lot of those desires that we have aren't inherently bad. They're not bad. For a lot of us, it's, well, you know, I want a roof over my head. I want a family. I want a decent job or whatever. I just want to be able to serve the Lord in a safe space kind of thing. So those desires aren't inherently bad. It's just that sometimes there's desires that we have that God is saying, not yet. And it's not, the no isn't always a direct no, never. It's a no at this moment.
You know, Paul put it this way. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Think about it. That is literally being a daily martyr for Christ.
Yeah.
It's not that Paul didn't end up facing the ultimate martyrdom, but daily, he was a daily living martyr for Christ, because daily he would lay down his life, his desires, his wants, his yearnings, and he would live for Christ daily for the purpose that Christ called him to. So what does that mean for us? You know, living in places where we may not have physical persecution. I mean, that's something that we need to think about, because like in the United States, we don't generally, we have emotional, you know, persecution. We may be, you know, listed as a bigot or called names, or maybe someone's going to try to blacklist you on social or something like that, but it's not normally a physical assault. That's not the norm where we're from. But here's the reality. We need to live in a way where people notice. Charlie Kirk is a perfect example of this. Charlie Kirk was not looking to become a martyr. He literally, every time he would have an event, he would stand up for Christ, regardless of how people called him, what they thought of him, or if they wanted to insult him. He didn't care about his reputation. He didn't care what people were going to say or even what they were going to try to do. He simply wanted to stand for truth and to be the man that God called him to be. And that's what God's asking from each one of us. It's not about us seeking death. It's about us being faithful. It's about whether in life or in death, we bear witness that Jesus is worth it all, that he is the Lord of all.
Yeah, I'm so as you're saying that, it makes me go back to, and you brought Paul into it, go to 2 Corinthians 11. And in there, he begins to talk about, he's like, I don't brag on myself or things like that. But here, let me tell you what I've, some of the things I've been through. This is Vince's lingo for a second. But he's like, 5 times I've received 40 lashes minus one from the Jews, so 39 lashes. They've been flogged severely. He's faced death again and again from exposure. He's been imprisoned frequently. 3 times he was beaten with a rod. Once he was pelted with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day in the open sea. He's been on the move constantly. He's been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from his fellow Jews, from Gentiles, in the city, in the country, at sea, and from false believers. He's like, I have toiled and labored and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. So, I mean, if that is any indication of what we're meant to, or of what not we're meant to, but what we could potentially face in our life. So let's bring it to America for a second. Let's, you know, we haven't endured that degree of it overall. Now we are facing an increase in persecution, I believe, more so than we ever have. And even to the fact that we have seen multiple people over the last probably 30 years have given their life for their faith here in the United States alone. Some of them are reported and quite a few are not. I have a family member that they were killed for their faith. So it does happen here in the United States. It's just not always on front page news, right? So by and large, though, ours comes in the form of pressure, peer pressure, social media pressure, your reputation, and all these things that we addressed before. You know, the fact that you even mentioned fasting. God, why would you ask me to do that? Well, you got to die daily. What does that fasting mean? Hey, lay down the social media and come hang out with me. Put down the games and come hang out with me instead. And look, these are things that Kirk and I both face too, in whatever manner we do. We have our own vices and things that God will say, hey, lay that down. I mean, I remember you told me that you were messing around on the computer, I think it was with Linux one time, and God told you, I'm going to need you to back down a little bit there, bud.
Well, yeah, it wasn't necessarily quite as bad as it was when he told me to stop playing video games for forever.
Yeah, that seems to be a big one for us guys.
Yeah, but he did tell me at one point, he's like, you know, he kind of put like an impression on my heart that I was allowing myself to get distracted.
Mm.
And the thing is like for me with computers, I can tinker a lot and it doesn't benefit me because it's not something that is real productive. It's more of just a distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll try to make it like I want to function like I want, but which is one reason, like I've told you, I like to use Mac. I just love the platform, but at the same time, I'll turn it on. I'll do what I need to do, and then I turn it off. It doesn't distract me. For some reason, I have no idea why, Windows and Linux both distract the living daylights out of me. I can't, you know, because there's too much going on with Windows. It's like there's all these little flashy things that grab my attention. And on Linux, there's just too many ways I can tweak it and play with it to make it do things that I really don't need it to do. I just, because I can, I'll try. And I'm not an expert, but I'm somebody that can figure just about anything out. But it just takes me longer because I'm not an expert. So it's not worth it. It's better for me to find someone that can do it and let them do it. Because they can do it like a quarter of the time, maybe even less. Anyway.
But we're all like that, though. We all have something that'll distract us. I mean,
that goes right back to being a martyr. You know, being a martyr is not about seeking death. It's about being faithful in what God's assigned you to do in your Christian life, in your calling. And for some people, maybe you're called to be a parent. Maybe you're called to be a CEO. Maybe you're called to be just a worker as a technician or maybe a teacher. You know, maybe you're called to be a pastor, a missionary, or a prophet. It all depends on what God's called you to do. We're not supposed to be seeking after what someone else's call is. We're supposed to be fulfilling what God has asked us to do. Now, we are bearing the witness of Christ in everything that we put our hands to and how we surrender our life. So that's really what this is all about. It's about us surrendering to Christ daily, surrendering to His will, surrendering to His call. It's not about seeking death. It's about surrender.
Yeah, I mean, we never seek death. It's just that it for us, if it comes, we just, it doesn't phase the believer the way it does the unbeliever, because for us, death is just another door to walk through, and then we're with Christ forever. So, I mean, I don't mean that in a callous way. Obviously, that's a hard thing for a lot of us, but it's like you said, it's not that you go seeking it. It's just that if it arrives on your doorstep, you don't shy away from it.
Before we wrap this up, Vince, I want to throw out a challenge to everybody. Actually, it's going to be a two-part challenge. Number one, I challenge everybody to pray for Charlie Kirk's family all week. I challenge you, pray. Actually, I ask you, please pray for their family. Every day this week, remember it. Maybe for the next 6 months, pray for him daily. Pray for the family daily, his wife and his children and extended family.
Yeah, going through grief, yeah.
Second challenge, evaluate your life and your heart. Are you surrendering daily to Christ? Is there an area of your life that you need to resurrender? If so, say this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, reveal in me where I need to surrender. Help me, Lord, to surrender my heart fully to you. Help me not to allow fear to dictate my life, but instead that I will allow you and your Holy Spirit to grant me peace and rest in everything I put my hands to, and help me in unconditional surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Vince, I'm going to ask you to lead a quick prayer for Charlie Kirk's family before we close up today.
Sure. Father, we just pray for the Kirk family and for his parents, and if he has any siblings and friends that circle around them. Father, we just pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them. If there is anyone in that circle that does not know you, that they would come to know you through this process. And if they already do, then that they would get closer to you. They would seek your comfort and your peace. Help them to rejoice and have joy in their memories, their good memories, and let them laugh and cry as they need to. Surround them with your Holy Spirit. Father, help them to walk through the grief, but not to camp out and stay there. May the joy of the Lord be their strength, and that you would teach them and show them, if they do not know what that actually means and what it seems like and feels like to walk through, as the joy of the Lord is their strength. Comfort them, be with them, and continue to impart into that family. Protect those children, protect this widow. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that you have to surround them, to help uplift them through this season. I pray for strength for those people as well, for peace for those people as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on Uncomfortable Day. We really hope this episode challenged you and made you uncomfortable. If this conversation stirred something up in you, please share it with a friend. Mm-hmm. Leave a review and keep wrestling with these hard questions that you'll continue to grow. Until next time, keep living boldly, living faithfully, and remember, be a witness and the daily martyr in Christ that He's called you to be through dying to self daily. you know, laying it down, laying your will, your desires down for Him, and remain uncomfortable.
See y'all later.